morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. I hope everyone had a wonderful 4th of July holiday.
Wonderful 4th of July.
Wow, everyone's smiling, so that's a good thing. It's 105 degrees today in Trevo, so hopefully you also all wore...
I think that's a little over.
Well, we're in air conditioning.
No, it's 105.
Is it really 105?
It's hotter than New York, Andy.
102 feels like 104, that's what I heard.
Kathy Houston,
102 is the new
editor of Advantages, is here, and she's in her cool clothes.
Yes,
so that's good. Andy Cohn came all the way to Tuckahoe to talk to us this morning.
I didn't come to Tuckahoe. I came from Tuckahoe.
Are we in Tuckahoe now? Andy, we're happy to see you.
We should broadcast from up there one day.
That'd be fine. Of course, everyone's favorite managing editor, Joe Haley, is here, and he's so happy today. He says he doesn't have a rant.
I have nothing.
Everybody gets a week off.
What's wrong with you? Are you okay?
Shut up, Kathy.
Michelle Bell is out today, but we have the lovely Steve Hawk manning the tech booth. Steve's going to make all kinds of special sound effects for us today.
Like
hopefully
that.
He's got some fireworks or something in there. I guess it's a little after the fact. But Vinny Driscoll is going to be answering your calls. What's the topic today, guys?
Trade show traffic builders.
Trade show traffic builders. We're going to give you all kinds of ideas. If you have any clients who are looking for ideas to build trade show
traffic.
We can help you out. Also, if you're a supplier and you're looking for ideas on how to get more traffic to your booth, call us, and we'd love to help you out. The number is 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the air today, Joe, what do we give you?
$25 Visa gift card.
All right. So call us with this topic or anything that's on your mind. We'd love to hear from you. 215-953-4979. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, Melinda, you're going to give us a little bit of a preview for next week, aren't you?
Of course I am.
Okay.
Next week, meaning ASI Chicago.
We have 6 traits that make a great salespeople and proof that consumers respond to email marketing positively. We'll also look at where to get cash for your business right now. Andy Cohn's got that story because he is the cash guy.
I'm the cash guy.
The cash guy. Right. We have effective ways. We didn't get to this last week.
Cash register.
Kathy
nice,
really
Steve.
Wants to get... to this effective ways to sell yourself.
I'm dying to get to it.
Obviously.
And how do you create an ongoing business referral system, Kath?
I don't know.
Pay attention. Stay tuned and pay attention because we have that for you. 15 things other business owners should know, and we have design tips for effective email newsletters. A lot more on our plates, but we're going to start it off with the industry news in 60 seconds with Andy.
Take it away, Andy.
Thank you, guys. The National Council of Cotton reports that cotton prices are up about 50% over this time last year. The group cites a worldwide cotton shortage and demand for other fibers as reasons for the increase. Apparel suppliers are warning of rising prices in the next few months. Premium Promo USA has acquired the line name from financially distressed New Products International. New Products International is now closing its doors after 34 years in business. Premium Promo will exclusively supply all NPI brands, including its patented Hawk line of lighted magnifiers. The company just joined the ad specialty market last year. Delta Apparel has signed a letter of intent to acquire HPM Apparel, also known as the Cotton Exchange. HPM sells decorated apparel to college bookstores under the Cotton Exchange brand, which was formed in 1984. HPM employs nearly 300 people who will all be offered positions with Delta after their deal closes. Delta expects to add $25 million in revenue as part of the deal, which is expected to close by next week. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what are you voting for today?
Very good, Andy. We're looking at election products because you know it's going to be a busy and crazy midterm election season.
It is a big election time.
And I think that there's going to be plenty of opportunity for distributors to get some revenues and some sales from the election market.
Revenues and sales, so those are both good things.
Yes.
How about profits?
Yes.
All right. Now that we're done making fun of Joe, we're going to take your calls, 215-953-4979. Call us right now and tell us what types of items you're looking for your clients' trade shows, and we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card. And first, we put this question on Facebook, and we've gotten some Facebook people writing in with questions about trade shows. One is Sally Daniel Anderson. Her question is, what are some things you can use to persuade your customer to spend more than a few cents per item on giveaways, knowing that they will have over 1,000 attendees? Okay, so that's typical. Sometimes people think of trade show giveaways as a last minute thing, and they're like, okay, just get me something cheap, which is obviously a flawed strategy. So what would you suggest for this person?
I would say that you would have more inexpensive items at the front of the booth, so there's people who are just going to come and snatch products. Just make sure it's not expensive. Then if you can get someone into your booth and you can qualify them, you get a good sales lead there, you might have a higher tiered product, so something maybe in the $10, $15 range for the real serious business.
Yeah, if you're expecting a 1,000 people to come to their to the client's booth, I'm not sure you're going to get a 1,000 $10 items or something like that, but maybe you do a promotion in advance of the show and tell people, you know, you can, like Joe said, pre-qualify them a little bit, and then the people who, you know, who fit into the target market you're trying to attract, you know, you could qualify them in advance, and then when they come to your booth, you can give them a higher priced item. So I think that that's probably the way to go.
Yeah, one thing we've seen, I think, to be really effective is sending your top prospects a postcard and saying, you know, if they set an appointment for such and such a time at the show, that, you know, they can redeem the postcard for some special, you know, special reward like that.
Right.
I know that works really well.
I know years ago, Vernon worked with one of their clients, and they sent the case for a set of Bushnell binoculars. They got 100% response rate. They sent it to the 50 top clients of this exhibitor, and 50 of those clients came to redeem to get their binoculars. And
yeah, why not? And I'd also use case studies of other clients you've helped with trade shows that you could show specific ROI on what products they bought and, you know, what the results were.
You know, I think in general, and we might get into this with other callers, but I think that trade show exhibitors tend not to do enough in advance, and
I would agree.
The pre-show promotion is as important a step, I think, as
a follow-up.
The follow-up, and even as, you know, your time during a show.
Right.
You know, you have to look at a trade show as not just a 2 or 3 day event, and I would suggest that distributors talk to their clients about that. What kind of things can they do in advance of a trade show to actually attract people to come to their booth?
Absolutely. I think if they're asking the week before a trade show, it's kind of too late to do something
too
really
late.
Effective.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully that'll help out Sally, and she gets a $25 Visa gift card for writing in. On line three, we have Haley. Good morning, Haley.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Well, we have Joe Haley in the studio.
All right. If I married her, she'd be Haley Haley. But I can't marry her.
Well,
so
that would be quite a conversation
You'd
starter.
Have to talk
yes,
to your wife
I'd have to
that.
Tell my wife that. Say, hey, guess what?
Haley, what's your question?
Well, I'm helping out one of my clients with her trade show marketing for a massive show. It's a national show that she'll be exhibiting at. How can I help her and her booth stand out from the crowd?
Joe.
Well, I mean, you might want to consider doing a themed booth if it can tie in. A lot of trade shows have themes themselves, so if you can tie into that theme, you can have, you know, create a themed booth. Make sure that the booth personnel are all in the same uniform, whether it's a brightly colored shirt. If you've ever been to the ASI shows, you know that the ASI personnel wears yellow shirts. They're easy to find on the show floor, and ASI show people wear red shirts, so it makes them easy to identify.
Also, you know, I think we've seen at some of the ASI shows some of the exhibitors giving out T-shirts, you know, their own bright colored T-shirts to attendees that come to their booth. And then you have, you know, then you do some sort of sweepstakes that if you're found wearing the T-shirt, you'll get, you know, a dollar or whatever. You'll get something from their booth.
Sometimes I've seen them, they'll actually hand out cash to people who are wearing their T-shirts.
Right, and that definitely, you know, makes an exhibitor stand out because you see all the people on the show floor walking around in these T-shirts, and then other people say, hey, where'd you get that T-shirt?
Right.
You
know?
We did that once for ASI Radio. We had buttons of all of our faces, people who wore the buttons, and we would hand them cash on the floor, and all of a sudden you saw ASI Radio everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea.
Yeah, and use brand ambassadors, too, to go around, you know, drumming up enthusiasm for the booth and handing out the T-shirts.
Absolutely.
You know, you can always do things. There's an exhibitor that comes to the ASI show, Hog Wild, and they have these little foam like missiles they can launch with a rubber band. I mean, you can actually just launch them from your booth out into the crowd, and if someone picks it up, and can say, come back to booth, blah, 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 and redeem it for a prize or something like that. That would surely get people to come. If you're getting hit in the back of the head with one of those things. Or
yeah, definitely.
People love to be hit with rubber bands.
Or a BB gun.
you know, they won't hurt.
In terms of the booth, I would say that, you know, some people try to do too much with their booth, especially at ASI shows, and I'm sure, you know, other trade shows are the same. Just have too many things to look at. Usually people want to see what's new. So if you can highlight what's new, then they're going to stop, I would say.
Absolutely.
Well, hopefully that helps, Haley.
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. And on line four, we have Robert. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Happy 4th. A little belated.
Thanks.
Happy 4th to you.
Thanks. I just wanted to add a comment to what you folks had just said a moment ago about having two levels of items.
Mm-hmm.
I've recommended that to clients, but I also remind them to just think about how a really cheap item reflects on their company and their image. If you give a really cheap pen, yeah, it's a pen, but we all know you give two levels of pens. So if you get them into the booth, you can also give them a nicer item like you suggested, but I always suggested a bag with a coupon or an offer like you had suggested just a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
I like your concept of cash to a wearer, but in most of the trade shows I go to, they're already wearing logoed items,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, buyers typically dress better than the guy that does the yard, so the T-shirt doesn't always work for me. What I found really effective is I go incognito and walk the show floor, and if I see people, especially ladies, I'll just walk up to them and say, hey, do you women like chocolate? 99.9% of the time, the answer is yes, of course. And I say, guess what? I've got some pepper uppers here. I've got some little pep pills, I call them, and I give them a little piece of chocolate. And I say, you know, if you need a refill, just stop by booth so-and-so.
Now, Robert, why is this only for the ladies? Why can't the gentlemen enjoy the chocolate as well?
It depends on what market you're trying to attract.
I see.
But the other thing that I found that works really well is you work with other, you kind of buddy up with other non-competing people who are there,
mm-hmm.
and you say, oh, you have a terrific booth, you know, be honest, and this is really attractive. Tell me about your business. Well, as your reward for spending time with me, because I probably can't purchase your product today, I'll give you some dark chocolate. And if you want some more or your clients want to know where the dark chocolate is, send them to booth so-and-so.
Okay, that's good team effort.
Absolutely.
So right, it's a win-win-win.
Right.
You know, and everybody wins, and it seems like chocolate always lightens the mood, and it gives more power to keep on going down those aisles.
I love chocolate personally. In fact, there's some. I always look for some booth at the ASI show. It's like toffee to go. Is that
whatever?
It is?
We you know you always have candy.
Yes, I love that toffee, and
you
I'll go looking for it at the show. Anyway, great ideas, Robert. Thanks so much for calling in, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too. You know, he brought up one other thing, which is sort of related to what we've been talking about, but a lot of people, exhibitors too, will offer a really special premium for people who will sit and listen to mm-hmm. a product mm-hmm. demo or something like that.
Right.
And so, again, you know, you might send out postcards beforehand, come to, you know, at these different times to get a demo and, you know, get a free tote bag or whatever it is that mm-hmm. you're giving out. So, all right, good ideas from Robert. And now we have Maxine on line 5. Hi, Maxine.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Did you have a nice 4th of July?
I did. Had a wonderful family reunion, which was awesome.
That's great. Where was it?
It was this Saturday in New Jersey, South Orange, New Jersey.
Awesome.
Oh, Kathy's from
those
around
my old stomping grounds.
I just have a little comment. One that I do for the trade shows is I will send out an invitation to as many of the distributors as I possibly can for my ASI book. And I get a lot of traffic with sending out the invitation because I'll have a gift or a gift certificate or something when they stop by the booth, and it has worked very well.
So what kind of gift will you give out?
We gave them a gift certificate. One was like in-column pricing. Also gave them maybe free shipping or free art setup.
Aha, uh-huh. And that worked really well for you.
It worked awesome, and we got a lot of feedback, and we kept the gift certificate for at least 6 months, so it gave them plenty of time to order from us.
And did you give this to a targeted group of people or all attendees? Or?
All the distributors.
All the
and
distributors.
And they came by with their invitation, or by sending the invitation out, they when they came past our booth, they remember that they had gotten the invitation and called us, and we got a lot of orders from that.
Well, great idea, Maxine, and she did her pre-show homework, as you guys have been
advocating.
Right. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for calling in, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you.
And on line 2, we have Denise. Good morning, Denise.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Hi.
Hello. Did you have a nice 4th of July?
I did. It was nice. The weather here is pretty hot, too. So.
Where are you?
I'm in Baltimore.
Oh, okay. near the aquarium. Nice aquarium there.
Yes, pretty close. But my question actually, I know you've all clearly been to a lot of trade shows, so I'm wondering what are some of the best giveaways that you've seen that can generate traffic and some buzz on the show floor?
I think we've seen them all. How many trade shows have you guys been to? I've been to,
1 million?
150? 1 million. We're lucky if we can get you out twice a year. Joe, you see tons of products in the show floor. What are some of the most unique ones that you've seen?
I think the unique ones are the practical ones. It's the water. Because, you know, you're thirsty, you get dehydrated,
anything
you're out there.
Useful is number one. Even better than something really clever.
Absolutely. I think. Little bags of popcorn, the cookies, the chocolates and stuff.
Coffee to go.
It's definitely going to draw people over, too, because, I mean, it's someone's not out in the aisle handing it to you. They have to come to your booth to get it. So I think that draws you in. The lip balms are also good, too, because the air isn't always great in convention centers, and you're out and you're not eating right, and you might not be hydrated right, so your lips are going to tend to
crack. How about mints?
Breath mints is the next big thing, too, because, you know, it's...
And hand sanitizers.
That's a good one, too, because you're shaking hands, you're talking to people, and you don't want to have...
Right.
And the key at a trade show, those are all small things. I think small items tend to do well because people don't want
carry
a big,
big
thing
things.
To carry
and none
around.
Of those things are particularly expensive either.
You know what else is great? The tote bags, because everybody wants a tote bag to carry their stuff in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's,
and the catalogs.
I just, when I pack up to go leave a trade show, I just stick them all in a bag and it goes home with me. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hopefully that gives you some good ideas, Denise.
Great. Thanks
one
so much.
One more idea is stuff for the people's kids, like little stuffed animals or balls, you know, the Super Bowls or whatever, because people, when they go away to trade shows, they love to bring stuff home for their kids.
Absolutely.
And it saves them money. But if you have two kids or three kids, you got to make sure you get enough for.
That's right.
You don't want any fighting.
Or the tattoos, the little temporary tattoos.
Yeah,
they
tattoos
love those.
Are great, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good luck, Denise.
Thanks so much
for calling.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And we have another caller on line one, Nadine. Hi, Nadine.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there. Did you have a nice 4th of July?
I did, thanks. It was too hot, but you know.
Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Pennsylvania.
Oh, you must be near us.
Yep, not too far.
It's very hot. Okay, so what's your question?
My question is, I want to know how I can be sure that I'm getting the right type of clients and prospective clients to come to my client's booth at a show.
Well, again, I think it starts with the pre-qualification,
pre-qualification.
Guys?
Yeah, go to the company hosting the trade show, ask them for an attendees list, and then you just have to do your homework there. Find out the level of people that are being there, you know, because someone might be sending administrative assistants, might be sending, you know, rookie salespeople, or it might be the vice president or president of a company. It might be an actual buyer. You want to make sure that you're getting to the buyer and not speaking to someone who doesn't have that opportunity to make a purchasing decision. So,
well, I've had for different trade shows, I've had people call me on the phone and say, are you planning on coming? Because we'd like to see you, and trying to set up appointments. So, you know, you can call the companies and find out who is actually going to be at the show and try to set up appointments that way as well.
Okay, great.
All right, well, thanks so much for calling, Nadine, and have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
All right, we're going to pause for a moment for a message from today's sponsor, and when we return, Kathy Houston is going to tell us what traits make a great salesperson.
I thought you were having a Chicago preview.
We're doing that, too. Okay. We've got lots going on.
She's out of order.
You're out of order.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@iPromoteU.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. And Kathy rudely pointed out that I went out of order with the lineup today. Let's talk about Chicago. We're all going to ASI Chicago next week.
We've got a lot going on here.
Well, everyone else.
You can hold down the fort.
That's right.
We got a lot going on. Yes. Education Day is next Tuesday. And we have a full packed lineup. We have 7 brand new speakers who have never spoken before at ASI shows.
Wow, so that's incredible.
Who are they? Come. Like, what are they doing?
We've got all kinds of people. We've got Mike Beckman from Performa. Uh-huh. A lot of great people. We're still doing our new distributor success track, which is by far the most popular track. It's a day of education exclusively for new distributors. If you attend 3 classes or more, you get ASI's brand new free new distributor success kit, which contains 10 CDs and a workbook and some flashcards that'll give you everything you need to know to be successful in the industry.
What if I've been in the business for 15 years? Can I still attend?
You know,
or am I held?
Joe, you can come. we allow anyone to come. to come to the track. And you know what? We find that actually a lot of people who have been in the business 5, 10 years or more come because things have changed. They want a primer. They want to focus on the basics, sales and marketing, and this is a great way to get them motivated to do that. And they can get the kit, too, as long as they attend 3 classes. That also comes with a free lunch and a lunch panel moderated by ASI's Dale Denham. He's going to talk about social networking. And we have a keynote on the second trade show day by Tom Searcy. He's the author of Hunt Big Sales. Andy, you interviewed Tom. Mm-hmm. He's been on the radio show before. What kind of advice will he give attendees?
Well, a lot of his message is ways that distributors or any small business really can go after bigger clients. So compete against, you know, maybe bigger companies that they may have not been willing to compete against before. So he'll give strategies on how to get the types of business that can really make your year, you know.
Landing the big ones, million-dollar sales.
Yeah, and he has a whole host of other sales tips that I'm sure all distributors will be interested in.
Yeah, he's great. I know attendees who come to that session will all receive an autographed copy of his book, which is great. The other thing is, you know, you mentioned new and old distributors, Joe. We have a million-dollar sales summit going on in the second half of Education Day exclusively for salespeople who do about $1 million of sales or more. I mean, some people think that, you know, at that level, there's no education for them. Well, this is a great session. It's open to very high-level salespeople. We've got some great speakers for that. And people who attend that session can attend a free cocktail networking session afterwards to meet with some of the top-rated suppliers in the industry.
Can we come to the cocktail reception?
Are you a top-rated supplier?
He's
top-rated something.
I can
You're
be
out.
For an hour.
You're out. Anyway, so go to ASIShow.com. If you haven't signed up for ASI Chicago, be sure to do so today. It's going to be a great show.
Are we having a gala next week?
We are having a gala.
Where's that?
It's going to be at Hub...
Hub 51.
Hub 51. Wow, Andy knew the gala
Look at that.
Thing right
I know
off
the cocktail
top of his
receptions.
Head.
Are you all going to get gussied up?
Absolutely.
We have a great promotion, don't
How
we?
Gussy can we get?
Yes, tell... So Hub 51 is one of the best nightclubs in Chicago. It's going to be held on... Wednesday night.
Yep.
And what are we doing there, Joe?
Well, we will have our ASI TV cameras in tow with us, and we're going to have
be careful.
These cool T-shirts that inside have ASI TV on it. Outside, you're going to get a cool little sunburst underneath. It's activated. The ink is activated by UV rays.
Oh, cool.
So it's a pretty cool T-shirt. Everyone's going to want one. And to get one...
All you
need to do is do a dance first. We're going to have a bunch of different dances.
Easy.
You're going to pull in,
Show us
pick into a house,
moves,
and
huh?
you're going to have to do the robot
or
the cabbage patch.
The sprinkler's in there.
The sprinkler.
Nice.
And we will still be asking all our viewers to also vote for their favorite dance.
I love it.
You know, we've done this before, actually,
yes.
And we send out, you know, like the 15 top ones to have people
best
vote on
video.
Who's the best dancer.
Yeah.
And we get the most response to that email
oh, yeah.
than any other email we send during
I
the
love
year.
Watching those videos.
Because the people who dance tell their friends, you got to watch this video,
oh,
you
got to
vote for me. You
very viral.
Yes, it is.
And it's very hilarious.
So what you're saying is put on your dancing shoes.
Put on your dancing shoes and get ready to cut a rug.
Are you guys going to be doing a dance, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You've seen Andy
You've
and
seen
I
Andy.
Did our dance at the High Party in Vegas.
Oh, yes. You bet.
Not only that, but after the gala, 10 o'clock at night, it's not time to go home. It's time for what, Andy?
The Hot Party.
The Council
oh, wow.
Magazine
yeah.
Hot Party. It's a free event.
10 to midnight.
10 to midnight, and mm-hmm. it's at the W Hotel.
You bet.
It's
going to
showcase the hottest people in the industry, and it's another...
Oh. That's not exactly the kind of hot we're talking about, but yeah, you get the idea.
Anyway, so that's Wednesday night is going to be action-packed, so something not
that's
to miss.
That's almost too much excitement.
Who's number one on the hot list, Andy?
Well, it's I can't give that away.
Is it me? And I'm not invited?
It is Kathy Houston. Yeah.
It will be revealed at the hot party. Anyway, great week next week. Be sure not to miss it. All right, Kathy, now it's your turn. You're going to tell us... you're going to tell
six great traits of great salespeople. What do you think is the number one trait of great salespeople?
Good listener.
Yeah. That's right. People who are the most successful are the ones who listen most closely to the customer. That makes sense. We follow the two ears, one mouth rule.
You know, and that's pretty easy to detect in a job interview. I mean, if you're interviewing for a salesperson and they're, you know.
What?
Exactly. I wouldn't hire you. What are some other traits
right,
you should
okay.
look for?
Understanding early adopters, and this is basically just understanding the customer. And the reality is that your customer profile will change as your product changes. So while your initial market is hardcore early adopters, as the product changes, you need to be able to adapt to the customer and their needs. Perfect execution. The sales job demands equal enthusiasm for the product and for meeting clients' needs. A good salesperson is passionate about the brand and the uniqueness of their product. Right?
Seems good.
And no buyer should ever be left hoping that their salesperson comes through. They should always know you're going to come through for them.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter what. Obviously, being trusted by the customer. No customer is going to buy from you if they don't trust you, right? That makes sense. All right. The founders of Threadless, a t-shirt company, says their ideal salesperson is somebody's best friend, because people hear about their friends' companies or their friends' business, and that's, you know, really good for referrals, obviously.
Absolutely.
And the bottom line, of course, is can they get the order? Because they have to be able to get the order and make the money. That's what you look for in a salesperson. Number one is, can they get the order? Number two is product knowledge and the ability to talk about it in terms that translate to normal people. So don't be talking about your product, you know, in all the technical terms. You have to be able to translate it to the average customer.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to put these online, mm-hmm. right? ASI Central/radio, so that you can learn more about hiring effective salespeople.
Right.
All right, Andy Cohn.
Mm-hmm.
We get this question a lot. How do I know that my email marketing is effective?
Well, here, I have proof for you.
Okay.
You want some statistical proof?
I do.
That's good, because that's what I have.
Okay.
So a recent survey done by a consulting firm named eDialogue showed that 58% of consumers said that an email promotion has actually prompted them to make a purchase at an offline store. So they're actually using email marketing. You know, the consumers are seeing email and going to a store or calling, a customer service representative to purchase a product. Further, 57% say they would be more likely to buy an item that they saw in an email promotion. So there's some statistical proof that actually when, you know, you send out a lot of emails and you're not, you know, you're looking at open rates and you're looking at things like that. And, you know, the statistics are obviously low, like any direct mail, a good open rate is something in the 20-30% area. But, when people are looking at your email marketing promotions, they're not necessarily making their decisions on the spot at that moment, but they could be going back to them and, you know, calling you mm-hmm. for more information later on.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Andy. Andy, I'm going to put you on the spot again. A lot of businesses are thinking that right now is not a good time to get loans and cash and things mm-hmm. like that. But you have some tactics today to help people with that.
I do. You know, we actually have a story coming up in our August issue about this exactly, how to get a loan. And
yep.
so I have four tips here on ways that distributors can go about getting a loan right now. Certainly credit and loans from banks are still very tight, and mm-hmm. they're being very picky with who they give loans to. So here's some ways to get around that. First, focus on small local banks. They're the ones that are more apt right now to qualify you, you know, as a good candidate to give a loan to.
Is that because they're not held to the rules of a large
No,
team,
they have
or?
They go by the same rules, but the bigger banks have now put in more measures to qualify people because they've been burned so badly in the credit crisis.
So the smaller banks, they have more autonomy.
Yeah, the smaller banks aren't they're governed by the same rules, but institutionally within their own businesses, they don't necessarily have the same rules, and they also can get to know their customers a little bit better on the local level.
Right. So they might trust someone and be willing to take a chance.
Right. So that's something I don't know that they're necessarily more willing to take a chance,
right.
but they will work with you, and they'll work longer to qualify you. Big banks will just
more of an effort.
They're more apt to just say no.
Yep.
So go to local banks first. Another thing is to diversify your client base as much as possible. Banks are looking for to be sure that your revenue can be consistent. And if you have one client that makes up 40% of your revenue, they don't want that. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're going to dismiss you, immediately if they see that. Because as soon as you lose that client, if that client, you know, either cuts their business or goes to somebody else, a competitor, then, you know, you won't be able to pay the bank
right.
back. So be careful with a diversified client base.
Yeah, also diversify across industries, too.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't want to see, you know, you selling to just one market
right.
because what if that market, you know, undergoes changes mm-hmm. that affect your business. Third is to show a clear business plan. Banks, you know, really number one are looking at your business plan to show, profit and loss projections for the next 3 to 5 years. You have to show history, but also projections, and they need to be backed up with as much evidence as you can show them.
Do you think that's where a lot of companies fail? actually have a written business plan out there, or do they just think they can just, you know,
I think that their business plan isn't often clear. I think people think that they have a business plan, but it's not always as clear as a bank wants it to be, and it needs to be financially clear.
You know, it's interesting. We often survey people at the ASI shows, mm-hmm. distributors, how many have a business plan, and it's surprising the few amount that raise their hands. I know suppliers are more apt to have them.
Sure.
Sometimes they have bigger businesses.
They also have bigger infrastructure.
Exactly. But whenever we ask people the question, I'd say maybe, you know, 30% have business plans out of distributors.
Yeah,
that's
and
not a lot.
I think that that's because they're often one-person businesses.
Right.
So, and they feel like, you know, well, I'm in charge. I'm doing everything anyway.
Yeah, I know.
But really, even if you are a one-person business, you should still map out a business plan. I'm not saying you need to stick to it. It's going to change for sure. Every year it's probably going to change, but you can revisit it and update it as you go on. And just the last tip is something that you should be doing anyway, but keeping expenses in check. If you're applying for a loan, the last thing any bank wants to see is a sudden increase in your expenses. So you have to keep your expenses in line with revenues.
Sure. Makes sense. Can we put those tips up on our website?
We can, yeah. And it'll also be in the August issue of Counselor.
Okay, great advice. Thanks very much, Andy. Lastly, Joe, we've talked a lot about the importance of getting referrals mm-hmm. for your business. You've got some tactics for us today.
Yes, this is from the book, The Referral Engine by John Janst. Hopefully I'm saying his last name correctly, J-A-N-T-C.
I don't know.
T-S-C-H, Janst. Okay, anyway, prior to writing this, he did a survey of 1,200 small businesses, and he found that 89.6% of their business comes from word of mouth and referrals. However, only 26% did anything about those referrals. A lot of companies are asking for referrals, referrals, but doing nothing. So the reason for the book is to show readers how to generate referrals and what to do with them. And here are two key areas to concentrate on. One is to be referral worthy. You just can't, you know, ask for a referral if you're not satisfying your customer. And that goes hand in hand with start with your existing customers. Make them like working with you, where they're going to do repeat business with you, do the repeat business, and then ask for the referral. And, you know, he says to connect with clients where it's easy for them also to connect with you. Use your mm-hmm. Twitters, your Facebooks, your social media out there. Use feedback forms as much as possible and survey forms as much as possible. So as long as you can start gathering all this backup information, they like working with you, they're coming back to work with you, it's easier to get those referrals and then go calling.
All right, go get those referrals.
Yes, the All referral right. engine is the book.
Thank you very much, Joe. We are out of time today. Thanks for listening in, and thanks for today's show sponsor, I Promote You. Be sure to check us out. Same time next week, but not same place, guys. We are going to be at ASI Chicago. Woo-hoo. Come out and see us, and have a great show. Bye.